last week we quoted a machlekes atanoim, had a limshat the pasuk in yesterday's pirsut Torah. The Torah says, "Vishamarta zachukah hazos l'mo'adam yomim yomima." There's a machlekes Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva what the chukah hazos is referring to. So Rabbi Yosef Glili said that the chukah hazos is referring to tefillin. This is the source for the halacha that you don't wear tefillin at night. In the Torah, it's a yom yomima. Only by day you wear tefillin, at night you don't wear tefillin. Rabbi Akiva disagreed. Rabbi Akiva says that the chukah hazos is referring to Korban Pesach. Yom Yomim is not referring daily, it's rather referring to annually, to bring a Korban Pesach once a year. And why don't you wear tefillin at night? So Rabbi Akiva also agrees you don't wear tefillin at night, but that's only midrabbanan as a gezeirah that you may come to sleep with the tefillin. So I say, nobody was wearing tefillin at night. It's just the machlekes atanoim, how to understand why we're not wearing a tefillin at night. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's deraisa. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's midrabbanan. We spoke at the end of the show last week, possible nafka min ladina, the person who wakes up early in the morning. Maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, he could put on tefillin, even midrabbanan. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's obviously out of the question. Then the Gemara goes on to explain that that machlekes atanoim now spills over into another question as to whether one wears tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, the pasuk is concerning tefillin. So the Gemara says that miyam means some days. Miyam of local yamim means from day to day. Certain days you wear tefillin, certain days you don't wear tefillin. And from here, Rabbi Yosef Glili derives that minat Torah, you don't wear tefillin on special days. And what are the special days? Days of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, because Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk is not referring to tefillin. The pasuk is talking about Korban Pesach. So what would the din be according to Rabbi Akiva? Would you then wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? According to Rabbi Akiva, there's no machar that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara quotes a further machlekes atanoim within the view of Rabbi Akiva, within the assumption that the pasuk is not referring to tefillin like Rabbi Yosef Glili. Would you then conclude that you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara quotes that some Tanaim said yes, some Tanaim said that Takam Min HaTorah, you do wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva himself didn't say that. Rabbi Akiva himself concedes that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a different pasuk, a different mocher altogether. The mocher is the Shatim Leo Sayadecha, that tefillin is supposed to be an os. Yotzu Shavosas Yom Tov from Shein Atzmet os. The Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are an os, and therefore one doesn't need an additional os on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there are basically three shittas in the Tanoim, why one should or should not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So one Tana Taka holds, you do. There's one opinion Tanoim says, Yitaka, there's no reason to be potter, so Yitaka do wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And everybody else says, no, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for one of two reasons. Either for Rabbi Yosef Glili's reason of Yom Yomima, or for Rabbi Akiva's reason of os. So the Gemara seems to say that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, times when you don't wear tefillin, so not only are you putter from wearing tefillin, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, if you wear tefillin at night, it's also to wear tefillin at night. Because the Torah says, Vishamarta, Shemir is a Lashon Isser. Shemir is considered to be an Isser. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Aminich tefillin b'layla is over b'Isser. So l'chaura, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Aminich tefillin b'Shabbos b'Yom is also over Isser. But the question is, we don't follow Rabbi Yosef Glili. Most of the Rishonim follow Rabbi Akiva. We paskin that the reason why you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov has nothing to do with Vishamarta. Vishamarta is talking about Pesach, not talking about tefillin. The only reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov is because of Os. So it's based on this that the Beis Yosef quotes the following question. Now that we accept that we do not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the source has nothing to do with Vishamarta. It has to do with Os. How do we understand the nature of this din that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So one can understand it in one of two ways. Either one can understand that one is potter from tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but what if a person wants to? It's okay, you do whatever you want. If a person wants to eat matzah during the year, you can eat matzah during the year. You want to sit in the sukkah in the middle of the year, you can sit in the sukkah. Okay, those are technical issues. But in terms of being an issa per se, there's no issa to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It just means you're not mechuyif to. The drush of os is not the same as Rabbi Yosef Glili's drush. Rabbi Yosef Glili's drush is v'shamart, there's a shmira, there's an issa, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But we who paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the drush is totally different. And very often when the drush is different, so the nature of the halacha will be different as well. So one could argue that according to Rabbi Akiva, the nature of the halacha is just a p'tur. You don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You want it, it's a night, do whatever you want. Well, maybe one can argue, no. Maybe one can argue that, just as according to Yosef Glili, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. You're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So too, according to Rabbi Akiva, the drash of os is an oser. Means a person who has tefillin and Shabbos and Yom Tov is violating an avera. What kind of an avera is it? A modern avera. What kind of strange avera is that? So lechor the yisur is, it's like a zilzul the os of Shabbos. It's like a zilzul the os of Yom Tov. The Torah is saying Shabbos is so kadosh, Shabbos is so great, Shabbos carries the day, and you go in and say Shabbos. Shabbos is not so important. I need something to help out Shabbos. That's a problem. That's a zilzul in the else of Shabbos. So it's unclear from the Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, is it also with tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or is it just potter from wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Beis Yosef, in the beginning of a Chaz Mukhtza, quotes a machlokes that he had with an earlier source. He quotes a sefer, not such a familiar sefer, where he, Beis Yosef, had a machlokes with, are tefillin considered to be a klisha malachal yisr or not? We know that on Shabbos, if you have a utensil that's designated for Isurim, let's say you have a pencil, or you have a hammer, something which is usually associated with doing malachas, so there are very limited ways you're allowed to move such a utensil on Shabbos. It's not considered to be mukta mamish. Mukta means something that you can't move at all. Let's say sticks and stones are mukta mamish. Money is mukta mamish. Certain things, animals are mukta mamish. But you have other kinds of things that you're not allowed to move under certain circumstances, and you're allowed to move under other circumstances. So we colloquially call them mukta. If you tell your kids that pencil's not mukta, they won't know what you're talking about. If you ask most kids why you can't write on Shabbos, they'll tell you because the pencil's mukta. It's the other way around. The pencil's mukta because you can't write on Shabbos. But a pencil's not really mukta, because it's only what's called a klisha malachta liyaser. A klisha malachta liyaser, you're allowed to move for certain limited circumstances. What's called a tzarch gufa or tzarch makomo. Let's say I need the pencil for something else. I need the pencil to point with. Or I need the pencil because it's sitting on my table. It's in the way of putting down my sefer. So then the Gemara says in the 17th paragraph of Shabbos, you're allowed to move a klisha malachta liyaser, a tzarch gufa or tzarch makomo. You're not allowed to move it, let's say, to protect it. Let's say I left my hammer outside. I'm afraid it's going to get ruined in the rain, so I'm not allowed to bring the hammer inside. But if I need the hammer to crack a nut or something, or the hammer's sitting on my chair and I want to sit down, so then I'm allowed to move the hammer. So klisha malach d'liyaser is not really mukta because there's certain time to move it, albeit limited ones. Something which is mukta mamash, let's say if I left the money on the table, so then I'm not allowed to move it. Someone just asked me, Shaila, yesterday, that a mistake, they left their computer on the table on Friday night. Shabbos started the whole to rush with the snow. They mamash left the laptop, mamash sitting in the middle of the table. So they wanted to know, can they move the laptop on Shabbos? So I said, no, because the laptop is worse than what's called the klisha malach d'liyaser. It's called the mukta machas kusarin kis. The Gemara says, Mishnah says, that if you have a klisha malach d'liyaser that's very expensive, and you would get very upset if somebody used it for something else, it's not like a hammer. A hammer, the Gemara says, if you keep to pick up a hammer, assuming he's not hitting his brother with it, if you keep to pick up a hammer, you wouldn't get so upset. A hammer's not such an expensive utensil, unless it's a very fancy, special hammer. So since a pencil, if a kid would play with a pencil, you wouldn't get so upset. So that's called the klisha malach d'liyaser. But if you have something which is a klisha malach d'liyaser plus, namely, it's so malach d'liyaser that if you try to use it for anything else, you would get very upset with them, then it becomes mukta mamish. So let's say you have a shechet knife, or you have medical equipment or something, you have an expensive phone, you have something that if the child would play with, you would get very annoyed, so that's considered to be a mukta machos chisorin kis, and then you're not allowed to move it at all. So I think most people, if you're a little kid, would pick up your computer, start playing around with it, throwing it around, you would get very upset at him, so that's considered to be a mukta machos chisorin kis. They have to eat the Shabbos still around the computer. It's not the most beautiful scene, but no choice. No, so I said that the table doesn't become, first of all, even if the table is a bosses, so you can let it sit and use the bosses, you can't move the bosses. But I said, I don't think the table becomes a bosses because it was shecheach. The Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbos, it only becomes a bosses if you left it there on purpose. So if I put the computer down on the desk to keep it there for Shabbos, and then I decide I want to move the desk, that would be a bosses.
So it happens when it's a bosses. I'm sorry. So what happens then?
What's the buses?
No, everything else you put there then becomes a problem.
No, just the item itself. So let's say if somebody left the computer on purpose on the table, and now, for argument's sake, the computer got taken off, a kid came and removed the computer, the guy came and removed the computer, you still can't move the table, because the table became a buses. But here, it doesn't become a buses. And here, I don't want to move the table, I just want to put my food down on the table. No, Amir Lachem is not, unless maybe Mokha Mitzvah, there's no place to eat, I don't know, that would be maybe Mokha Mitzvah, maybe. Okay. So again, so the Beis Yosef quotes a shaila, what exactly is tefillin? Tefillin considered to be a klisha malach d'liyaser now. A very common shaila. Person has tefillin somewhere, and he wants to know, can I move the tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Beis Yosef says, it depends. If you hold that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so it's like you're not allowed to write with a pencil, you're not allowed to use the computer, so you're not allowed to an issur to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, then the tefillin become a klisha malachta liyisa. If it's mutter to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's just that you're not mechuyev to, then the tefillin are like any other klisha, and then they're not considered to be a klisha malachta liyisa. They're considered to be a klisha malachta liyeter. So it's interesting to note that Beis Yosef only quotes those two possibilities, that it's a klisha malachta liyeter, or klisha malachta liyisa. He doesn't quote the third obvious possibility. It should be mukta machmas chesar and kiss, because if your little kid would stop playing with your tefillin, you would get upset at him. So tefillin should forget. If you hold it, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I would have said it's worse than a pencil. It's worse than a hammer. It's like a laptop and a cell phone, because they're expensive. People will get upset. So that's what I would have said. So Shabbos quotes of Shlomo Zalman, an interesting svar, why maybe not. That tefillin can never become so bad as a mukta machmas chesar and kiss, because they always have that aspect of kisvei hakodesh. The Gemara says that kisvei hakodesh are never a mukta. Megillah, Sefer Torah, things like that are not considered to be mukta on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're better than mukta. They're the ultimate non-mukta. So Shlomo Zalman writes that since basically tefillin are kisvei hakodesh, they're just covered up inside. The parshas are inside. So he says therefore they can never become real super duper duper mukta. They have the worst they can become is a klisha malach taliyasa. So what are they, lemais? So the Beis Yosef writes, he thinks it depends on the Shaila. How do we pass in that Lacha? So the Tekas Tiris in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's also to wear Tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He uses the Lashon Aser. And Hilchas Mukta, so the Beis Yosef paskins that it's not considered to be Klisha Malach Taliyasa. So the place I'm going to run the task trying to figure out what the parameters of this din are. The Beis Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't paskin, but the Beis Yosef, he paskins that tefillin are not a klisha malach taliyasa. When he writes, the reason is because you're allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's just that it's potter. So it's a steer in Beis Yosef. It doesn't make much of a difference practically, because the mice we're not wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov anyway, whether we're potter or also, it doesn't make a difference. And Uchaz Mukts, it also doesn't make much of a difference, because even if you hold that it's also to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the worst it is, l'chara, is a klisha malach taliyasa. So if it's sitting on the seat and you want to sit down anyway, you're allowed to move it. It's no worse than a hammer. But when are you going to move tefillin on Shabbos? Either it's sitting, it's on your place, so you want to move it out of the way, or you left it in your bag, you want to use a weekday talus, whatever reason, so it's in the way. So whenever the tefillin are in the way, you're allowed to move it anyway. Even if it's a klisha malach taliyasa, you're allowed to move it. When are you ever going to have a case that you want to move tefillin that's not legufo, not lemakomo? For what? If you left the tefillin outside, that you're afraid they're going to get stolen or something, so the end of Mishnah Berurah quotes the Yechron, then for sure you could be makel. Because if it's makom l'shmiras tefillin, you're afraid something's going to happen to the tefillin, so then you could for sure rely on the mekilim that tefillin is a klisha malach taliyasa. So no matter what, there's only a case. The bottom line is you're allowed to move tefillin if it's in the way, and you should try to avoid tefillin if it's not in the way. If you don't need it, you don't have to move it, you shouldn't move it. So anyway, we're getting back out of Hilchos Mukta back to Hilchos Tefillin. So the simple reading is, in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin, is that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's Asur, and it's not clear whether that's really the way we should follow the Halacha. But Achoponim, for sure you're part. There's no question that we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that you do not wear tefillin, you're not mechuv to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it's not called, because tefillin is an os, and you already have the os of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Rishonim quote a question: what exactly gives Shabbos and Yom Tov its os dimension? Why is Shabbos and Yom Tov an os? So the Tosfos quotes a suffix: what exactly makes Shabbos and Yom Tov into an os? One possibility Tosfos writes is maybe it's the issur melacha shebo, because you have to refrain from melacha and Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the os of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then Tosfos says maybe no, maybe the reason why Shabbos, or at least Yom Tov, is considered an os, it's not only because of malacha. Malacha is one thing that creates an oath, but maybe because there are special mitzvahs hayom. On Yom Tov, you eat in the sukkah, you don't eat chametz, whatever the days of Yom Tov have different mitzvahs to them. So maybe it's not just the issur malacha shebo that creates an oath. Maybe just the chiyuv mitzvah shebo is also enough to create an oath. Might have kamina, whether everything is focused around malacha, or whether even the mitzvahs hayom. So Tosfos writes, enough kamina for chol hamoed. Should you wear tefillin on chol hamoed or not? So Tosfos writes, if you hold that as long as there's a mitzvah sayom, that's enough to exempt you from tefillin, so chol hamoed also has mitzvah sayom. Is the same mitzvah d'orais of yeshiva besukkah throughout the whole week of chol hamoed? Is the same issur koris, we just read yesterday, miyama rishon yom hashvi, if a person eats chametz on the middle of chol hamoed, you're also chayv koris. So the mitzvah sayom, the surim of the dinim that emanate from the yontif of Pesach and Sukkot, apply equally on chol hamoed as they do to yontif. So if you hold that the os dimension is a function of mitzvah sayom, so then the chora Chol HaMoed is also an Elos, and therefore one shouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But if you hold that it's not the mitzvah sayom that creates the Elos, it's the Issa Malacha that creates the Elos, so then it becomes a little more questionable, says Tosfos. Because maybe the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed is not enough to create the Shemos. Why should that be? So Tosfos and the Rosh write that we're not so sure that the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed is really the Araisa. Big machlekes of Rishonim, machlekes two brothers, Rashbam and Rabbi Natan, is the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed Deraisa Derabbanan. The problem is that we have all these strange rules about Malachas Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to do Davar Avid. If you're afraid you're going to lose money, you're allowed to do it. But certain Maisa Hedyots and Mutter and Maisa Homans are also. You can do non-professional things, can't do professional things. You can't plan to do it. Half a dozen klolim, the whole first parak of first two parakim of Ma'akotot gives you all the details what you can do in Cholamot, can't do Cholamot. Very complicated dinim. We spent like 2 years in the Kol Boker a couple of years ago learning the dinim of Cholamot. Very, very complicated. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, where did all these rules come from? How can it be? What kind of strange answer is this? So, this is Mutter, this is also Mutter, also. Whoever heard of such a Haggadah? So Rabbi Natan throws his hands up and he says, it must be that the whole prohibition of Chol HaMoed, Malach Chol HaMoed is on a Midirabbanan. He says, if it would have been Deraisa, we couldn't have, we can't explain away Midiraisa all these strange categories. It's got to be the whole thing is on a Midirabbanan. And the Rashbam, his older brother, disagreed. The Rashbam said, no, it's Deraisa. It's strange. So I got to figure out why it's so strange. I got to figure out why Min HaTorah have such a strange phenomena called Malach is Chol HaMoed. But whatever the answer to that question is, it's not really a Tefillin question, it's a Chol HaMoed question. The bottom line is, as the Machlekes and Rishonim of 2 days in Tosfos, is the Yisr of Malach and Chol HaMoed Deraisa or is it Derabbanan? So Tosfos makes a Cheshbon now about Tefillin. Tosfos writes, if you hold a mitzvah can create an oath, just the fact that you have to eat in the supper, the fact that you can't eat chametz, that's enough to create a shame oath. So then of course you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But if you hold that you need malacha to create a shame oath, so then we could further break down the shayla and say, if the Issur Malachas Chol HaMoed is deraisa, so whatever it is, whatever the guidelines, whatever the parameters are, if it's deraisa, so then Chol HaMoed is also an oath. If it's not deraisa, and the definition of oath is a function of malacha, so then Min HaTorah, Mechuyav in Tefillin. The fact that there's an Issur Malacha Midirabbanan, that's not going to be mafkir the mitzvah deraisa of Tefillin. So Tosfos leaves you hanging. Tosfos is a Menachis, other places. Tosfos leaves a shayla. What's the din? Do you wear Tefillin or Chol HaMoed or not? So one side, yeah, one side, no. Depends on malacha, depends on else. What's the halacha? So it's unclear how we should pass the halacha. So the Rishonim split on this shayla. Do you in fact wear Tefillin or Chol HaMoed or not? So the Rashba writes in a tshuva that you do not wear Tefillin or Chol HaMoed. He assumes that Chol HaMoed is a valid os midaraisa, and therefore one does not wear Tefillin or Chol HaMoed. And the Rosh says no. The Rosh says you're mechuyav to wear Tefillin. It's no shayla, no sofik. He was pushed at the shayla. The Rosh holds that you're mechuyav to wear Tefillin in a Torah and Chol HaMoed. It's like a regular weekday in terms of Hilchos Tefillin. So Machlokes is the Gedolei HaRishonim, one side to another. Either you chay midaraisa, or it could be it's also midaraisa. Different opinions in the Rishonim. How do we pass in the halacha? So we have some strange things about this Pesach of Halacha and Hilchos Tefillin concerning Chol HaMoed. So the Beis Yosef writes that the original minhag in Spain, he came from originally from Spain. Beis Yosef was born in Spain in 1488. It wasn't a good time to be born in Spain. He was 4 years old when his family left Spain. So he was a little boy, one of those boats that left Spain on Tisha B'Av 1492, and his family made their way to Turkey. So he lived for the first part of his life in Constantinople, in Istanbul. And that's where he wrote the Sefer Beis Yosef. And then later in life, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, moved to Tzfat, and he wrote the Shulchan Aruch when he was in Tzfat. Those who've been in Tzfat in the little cave, Beis Yosef, little Beis Medrash in Tzfat, that's where he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. But the Beis Yosef was written in Turkey. So anyway, so the Beis Yosef writes that the minhag in Spain, I don't know how much he remembered as 4 years old, but he writes that the original minhag in Spain was that they used to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that they used to paskin like those opinions that you do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And then he says that years later, so the minhag changed in Spain. They stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why? What changed the minhag? So he writes that when a certain sefer became well known, there was a sefer that had been in hiding for many years and it became well known. He calls it the Medrash HaNe'elam, the hidden medrash. So when that medrash became a little more popular, people started to read it. So it says that Medrash HaNe'elam, that's also the way it's Tefillin Chol HaMoed. So people stopped wearing Tefillin Chol HaMoed. What was the Medrash HaNe'elam that he's referring to? The Zohar. When the Zohar became more popular, people started to learn more Zohar. The Zohar was around for a long time, but it was in the realm of the Yechidei Skula, when people started to become more familiar with it. Well, that's a good thing or a bad thing, not for now. But when people started to become more familiar with it, it says in the Zohar, so state in the Zohar that you're not allowed to wear, tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Zohar speaks very, very strongly about wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And it says, if I'm not mistaken, I don't learn Zohar. I'm over 40, but I still don't learn Zohar. So I think it says in the Zohar some kind of a lashon that if a person wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it's a terrible aveira, it's a terrible thing, it's chayav misa. Some very, very strong lashonos for wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I think apparently one of the maskilim wasn't so from, so he didn't like what it says in the Zohar, that you chayav misa for wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So apparently he wrote an emendation into the text of the Zohar. He writes a little note on the bottom, and a little asterisk for who shaharges and nefesh. If you killed somebody and you were tefillin chalamoy, by the way, if you do both together, then you chayav misa. But if you just put on tefillin, we don't need a Zohar to tell me that you chayav misa for ritzicha. So the Zohar says, in the Elmas al-Yon, you're not supposed to wear tefillin chalamoy. So the Beis Yosef writes that therefore the minhag changed in Spain. So the Ramo writes on this Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch writes in Shulchan Aruch already, so you're ready, Paskins, you're not allowed to wear tefillin chalamoy. So the Ramo writes, we don't follow the Zohar. He said, we follow our Rishonim, our Paskim, and the Rosh was the Pesach Achron, he was the Machriya for the Ashkenazi communities. So the Ramah writes that meaning is we do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the Ramah writes not only do we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, we wear tefillin on bracha on Chol HaMoed. He says we make a bracha on Chol HaMoed. So we have no qualms, we have no hesitations. We pass him with our Zvadai that you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, Machoikis, Menachkotza, Lakotza. The Beis Yosef would inspire them with the Zohar, with the Mekubalim. They're saying you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the Ramah is saying you're Mechuyif to. Then the Ramah has an interesting comment. The Ramah writes, you should make a bracha, but you shouldn't make it publicly. You shouldn't make it loud bracha. So what does that mean, you shouldn't make it publicly? So those who know the Yekesh HaMinig, I'm always referring to the old Minig in many of the Ashkenazi communities which still exist in Broyas today, that the Bal Tefillah makes the bracha laniach tefillin out loud. When he puts on his tefillin in the morning, he makes laniach tefillin, everybody answers amen. So the Ramah writes, most of us don't do that anymore. Most of us aren't in shul on time in order to hear that anyway. So we don't do that. But the Ramah writes that on Chol HaMoed, it's not everybody's making a bracha. So you don't make such a tatar, you don't make such a public scene about the bracha on Chol HaMoed. But Lamais, everybody should make the bracha quietly. You don't want to get into a machlokes. Fine. So anyway, getting back to the story. So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the minhag that you should not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the Ramah is quoting that you should with a bracha. So later, Acharonim write that we're not as convinced of the Ramah that Yavamish mechuyif to. So that's the Taz writes the third possibility. That's a common practice today. You put it on without a bracha, because since we don't want to miss out tefillin d'oraisa. On the other hand, we don't want to risk making a bracha l'matala. So compromise, you put on tefillin without a bracha. Those are the three prevalent shittas in Klai Yisrael today. Either the Shulchan Aruch that you don't wear tefillin at all on Chol HaMoed, the Ramah that you put it on with a bracha, and the Taz it says you put it on without a bracha. Yeah, we're getting there. Naturally, we can all dive in the front, but we'll get there in a second. We're getting there. So again, say Machab, Taz, a lot of different possibilities. So that's pretty much how it broke down for a couple of hundred years. So then things started to change a little bit, even within the Ashkenazi communities. Certain inroads were made in the Ashkenazi communities that started to tilt the balance back to the direction of not putting on tefillin. What were those two inroads? So there were a couple of important developments. So one was the advent of the Hasidim. So when the Hasidim entered onto the scene, so the Hasidim picked up a lot of minhagim of the Mekubalim, the Nusach Dabri, Nusach Svard, and a lot of other things that became more associated with the Mekubalim, with the Zohar, with the Minhag Ria Kodesh. So the Hasidic Shapolskim followed the view of the Shulchan Aruch, that following the Zohar, that one does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the same way that in Spain, 700 years earlier, the Minhag shifted in the days before the Beis Yosef, that people stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So a lot of Ashkenazim, quote-unquote Ashkenazim, stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed also, because they were following this Minhag Svard, this Minhag Mekubalim, not going to follow those who showed them not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Another inroad that happened was the Minhag Agra, that the Gra, even though he was an Ashkenazi, but the Gra felt that the Ikra Halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch in this. So the Bira Gra writes that the Ikra Din the Ramah is not correct. The Ikra Din the Shulchan Aruch is right that one does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the Gra didn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So then you started to have they have breakdowns within the community. So within the real Svardim, the Mamash Edotam Mizrach, the real Makoi Svardim, so they haven't been wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed for 1,000 years. Within the Ashkenazi communities now, anyone who's part of the Chassidish communities is not wearing, and anyone part of the Litvish community, the Gra communities is not wearing. That's a lot of the Ashkenazi communities. So then, yeah, who's left? So left are those who are the real Shomrim and Huggy Ashkenaz, the Yekis, you know, those who some who really, really observe the old Minig Ashkenaz, so they continue to wear tefillin today. That's the reason why, historically, why in Eretz Yisrael, the Minig became, across the board, nobody wears tefillin Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, publicly for sure not, under all circumstances. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, just a little historical background, the Minhagim that we have today, the Minhagi Eretz Yisrael today, were basically determined by three factors. There were three forces that went into determining what the Minig of Eretz Yisrael is. One was the Sfardim, because there was always a Sfardi presence in Eretz Yisrael. The Minhagi HaGra, because a lot of the Talmidim of the Gra came to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. And some of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov came to Eretz Yisrael as well. So the Minhagi HaChasidus. So when you have these three factors, these three forces happen to agree, just for fluke, when the real Sfardim, the Chasidim, and the Talmidi HaGra hold the same thing, you know for a fact that becomes the Minig Eretz Yisrael. Nothing to discuss. You have that like by Hallel and Pesach also, that all the shuls in Eretz Yisrael say Hallel and Pesach night, because that's what the Sfaradim do, that's what the Gra held, that's what the Chassidim held. So I, the Ashkenazim, don't, or most says you're not supposed to, but in Eretz Yisrael, that became the Minig. So that's the same when it came to Tefillin also. Since the Sfaradim don't wear Tefillin Chol HaMoed, and the Chassidim don't wear Tefillin, and the Gra didn't wear Tefillin Chol HaMoed, so that became the Minig in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, in America, so you still have some people who still do wear Tefillin.
Is there any Indian if all of Klal Yisrael, meaning everybody in Eretz Yisrael, greater numbers than all the Jews in the rest of the world, may hold 1 minute, but we include to follow when Hal gets Eretz Yisrael?
I don't think so.
Where did the reason that if you're working, you put tefillin on?
Yeah, that was just a myth. It wasn't. It was because people felt, oh, I'm working, so I don't really hold chalamoy deraisa. Either you should be working or shouldn't be working. Whether or not you personally are working shouldn't make much of a difference. I heard that myth when I was a kid also. That's what they used to tell us, but it's not based on anything I love. So again, so yesh v'yesh, different opinions. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the one thing that everybody should observe is that you shouldn't have a split in the same shul. The Mishnah Berurah writes, if you have half the shul putting on tefillin, half the shul not putting on tefillin, that's a problem for Los Eskodu. Different minhagim within the same place, that's not right. So the Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in a different context. Rav Moshe writes about the minhag of Svira. The Mishnah Berurah writes that in Svira's Omer, everyone should observe the same minhag. In one community, either the first days or the second days, you shouldn't have half the community observing first day of Svira's and the second half observing the second half of Svira. That's not right. Everyone should observe the same. So Rav Moshe writes that Bamedav Amamurim, that Mishnah Berurah is true. That's if you live in a community like in Europe, Eastern Europe, where basically it was one community. So you had one formal community, everyone came from the same place, everyone's been living in the same community for the last 100 years, so then everyone should have one minhag a year. But Bizman Azeh said, Rav Moshe, what minhag a year? America? So there's no minhag a year in America. Who was Kaveh the Minhagim of America? The American Indians. Who was Kaveh the Minhagim? A bunch of Jews came from Galicia, and a bunch of Jews came from Litva, and a bunch of Jews came from Hungary, Jews came from Germany, and they all joined together to join the Young Israel of such and such. So Rav Moshe says there was no minhag of one America ever. The minhag of America was a conglomeration of different minhagim. So since there's never really a minhag that was nikva anywhere in America, so he thinks that Los Eskodu doesn't really apply. That's what he writes about Sviras. That's why he doesn't have any qualms about in one community different people keeping the different days of Svira. When I was a kid, so it was always like that different communities kept different days of Svira. But when I was a kid, I never remember chasanas in the first part of Svira. I never remember there were never chasanas the last Lag BaOmer. I don't know, at least when I was growing up, I never remember, maybe I wasn't invited to this chasanas, but I never remember anyone making chasanas in the first half of Svira. Now, so a lot of people I already have chasanas scheduled for the first half of Svira. People make chasanas before Rosh Chodesh, and then people make chasanas after Lag BaOmer. So, and everyone goes to both. Because Mikra Din, Poskim write that if someone else is making a chasana, I'm allowed to go. For me, it's Svira, that's okay. So again, that became the minig in America. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I go to chasana, the Masada Kedusha in the first days of Svira, but I don't think that's the way it was. I don't know, unless I'm wrong. Anyone remember otherwise?
Never
used to have before Shchadish, right? Right. But Lemaisa now that's become the prevalent minhag. Again, it's nothing wrong with it. There's just a little bit of a change in the minhag. Anyway, getting back to this story. So according to this Svar Moshe, L'chayr, it should be okay during Chol HaMoed also. Chol HaMoed, having the same shul, different people wearing tefillin, some wear, some no. Because there is no minhag ha-mokom per se. So there's no real losses go to do. That's what I think most of our shuls follow. I know, or our Torah, we follow that. We let people wear tefillin, and people not wear tefillin. People do whatever they want when they come here. There are some shuls that still stick to that Mishnah Berurah, that they put the whatever the majority is, they put the rest of the people behind the mechitza or something. They put them in the back room. They put them outside because they don't want to be a violation of losses. Go to them. I think that most shuls don't follow that.
With a place like Lakewood, choosing a homogeneous community where it has a America,
assuming you had, I don't think, I'm not sure Lakewood is the example of a place which has, which is homogeneous. I think there's a lot of different shuls within Lakewood, but you mean to be a yeshiva would have a certain meaning. So you have a few places, and there are a few places even in America. There are places in America. Let's say Broyers. Everybody wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed in Broyers. If you would walk into Broyers and not wear tefillin, that would be losses going to do. Or let's say you go into Chassidisha, you go into the little bar park, you go to Chassidisha, you go above of. Nobody wears tefillin in the Chassidisha places. If you would go put on tefillin in a Chassidisha place, and you go to New Square, go
put it. Really,
yeah, you have to. Yeah, you don't have to make bracha, but you have to wear tefillin. Yeah.
I think the Mishnah Berurah's suggestion that the Kavanah and Akavanah is considered Shemitana take hold more, especially with seems like we reject the Amanda Rush, which is unusual.
Yeah. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah says that the best thing to do is to put on tefillin all tonight. Put it on if I'm chai, if I'm yotzei, if I'm not chai, because it's a complicated tonight. To tell people get down, not holding from these tonight. Most people are not holding in that parsha, making a mitzvah all tonight. Come on, this isn't too complicated. So the Shulchan Aruch who quotes in Ruchos tefillin that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the meaning mistama was chayish. That's also, it's not just a potter. It's mamsh also. It's also to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some of that's why the minhag didn't become prevalent. Anyway, Achol Panim. So again, we got the Shabbos, the Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, part of tefillin. Any other days of the year we don't wear tefillin? So there's a whole question in the Rishon about wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Should one wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av or not? What's the shaila? So the din is that an Avil doesn't wear tefillin, but only an Avil on Yom Rishon. An Avil on the first day of Avelus doesn't wear tefillin. That's a din. That's a din that appears in the Gemara in several places. So the Rishon had a shaila. What's the status of Tisha B'Av? Is Tisha B'Av considered to be like the Yom Rishon? It's like the most chomerdik day of Avelus. The Rishon say no, it's not Yom Rishon. It's like the rest of Shiva. The dinim of Shiva apply on Tisha B'Av. You can't wear shoes and you can't can't wash. It's basically surim. You can't learn. The basically surim of Avelus of Shiva are observed on Tisha B'Av, but many Rishonim say it's not Yom Rishon, it's like Avil Yom Chamishi, it's like a regular dinner Shiva, not like the first day of Shiva. So therefore one would in fact wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. So yesh, yesh, v'difim min hagim. So that's why the minhag became pretty prevalent minhag that we have in our communities is as follows, that we split the day a little bit. That means we say the first half of the day, that's like Yom Rishon, you say Kiddush, you're sitting on the floor, that's already much more chomer. In the afternoon already, it becomes like a regular day of Shiva. So therefore the minhag Yisrael has become to wear tefillin in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. If it would be a real din, a mamash an issur to wear tefillin, then we wouldn't wear tefillin altogether. So we hold it's a minhag, and the minhag is only not to wear it in the morning, but we wear it in the afternoon. So we put on tefillin for mincha on Tisha B'Av. I always tell people they have to be very, very careful not to forget to put on tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Sometimes, you know, person gets very tired after kiddush, you go lay down, you wake up, it's ready to night, you forgot to have mincha. So if you forget to have mincha on a regular day, all right, it's not a good thing, but it's not the end of the world. You forget to have mincha on Tisha B'Av, you forgot to put on tefillin. So that's why I always try to daven early mincha on Tisha B'Av. I don't like to wait till late in the afternoon. Me or them, I hear what's going to happen, you fall asleep. So I always daven mincha gedolah on Tisha B'Av. You want to make sure that you put tefillin, you're done already. We always go to the coast in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. You know, you come there, it's a shkia. Guys are still walking around putting on tefillin. I don't have the nerves for that. I have to make sure the tefillin already put on. The story told over the story in the past that happened in Munich a couple of years ago when I was in Tisha B'Av. I went to go say help some NCSY group saying kinnis and the whole program there. So we said kinnis there all morning in the shul in Munich, and then they took us afterwards to Dachau, was about an hour away from Munich. So we went there and we finished the kinnis there, and I spoke to all the teenagers there, and they gave a whole most of the afternoon. And then we came back to where we were staying. It was only about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it gets dark very, very late there. So we were going to daven mincha with the shul. The shul was daven mincha, 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever it was, an hour before shki, whatever it was. So they told us, okay, everyone's off for the next 3 hours, and take a nap if you want. And I wasn't staying with the rest of the group. I was staying in a hotel, they were staying somewhere else. I was lunch by myself. Every Nissel was the only one, he was in the next room. So I was in a hotel room, it was 4:30, 5 o'clock in Tisha B'Av, and I realized I hadn't daven mincha yet. And I wanted to lay down 2-3 hours till mincha, I was exhausted. So I was going to lay down, and I set my phone, my alarm to go off. And I said to Rafi, no, this is too dangerous. I said, I'm going to go sleep now. I haven't slept in 2 days. I just phoned from Eretz Yisrael the day before. I haven't slept in 2 days. I'm going to go to sleep now for 2 hours. I'm going to rely on this little 2x0, it wasn't even my regular cell phone, my international phone. You know, this little 2x0 phone to wake me up. We're going to go call the front desk. They're going to wake me up in German. Who knows now? Miss Mincha, I'm just putting on tefillin. Go, what am I going to do? So I get into bed. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Mincha wasn't for another 2 hours. I couldn't fall asleep. I was so nervous. I'm going to forget Mincha. I couldn't fall asleep. So I said, you know what? It's the only way to do it. I got out of bed and I put my tefillin on with a bracha. I don't have to have Mincha now. Mincha's all Zayin. For Mincha, I'm relying on my alarm clock. But for tefillin, I'm not relying on my alarm clock. I put on tefillin right then and there. That way I know that I. So I'm standing there in the hotel room in Munich with my tefillin on. I think, so what should I do now? I'm not going to have Mincha. I don't want to have Yechidus. I'll say Kriyishma. Mishnah Berurah says not to do that. Mishnah Berurah says on Tisha B'Av, when you put on tefillin, you shouldn't say Kriyishma. Some do, some don't. Mishnah Berurah says, if you say Kriyishma, you're not really Yotze Kriyishma. You were Yotze in the morning. It's just Talmud Torah. You're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah Berurah says against that. Some Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, when you put tefillin on in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av, you should say Kriyishma. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Dafka not. So my meaning is, I never say Kriyishma in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av with my tefillin on. So I'm standing there with my tefillin on. What am I supposed to do? There's no mincha, there's no kriyishma, there's nothing. Put them on, so I took them off. I said, that was it. I was yaitse min haTorah. Then I was able to get a good nap. So I got a good nap, 2 hours, good nap, shmat. I went to sleep for 2 hours. I woke up 7 o'clock. I went and walked across the street down to the shul to Rabbi Langer, I remember, back to the shul there. So we went to, I went to Daf Mincha. And then I realized, I put my tefillin on again. I said, why not? I said, I can put. So I'm probably the only Jew in all of Klai Yisrael who wore tefillin twice on that Tisha B'Av. One to be yaitse at their eyes, and then second time also their eyes at the way down. So we daven Mincha about 7:30 or so. We finish davening Mincha. So as Mincha's ending, it gets dark very, very late there. The shkia there was 9:30 or something. It was very, very late. So Mincha, they daven 7:30, whatever it was. So as they're finishing the end of Chazaras Hashat, I see a few balabatim. It's mostly the MCSY kids. And a couple of balabatim. So I see, so all the balabatim are taking off their tefillin already. Chazaras Hashat. So I figured, okay, they're in a rut. Like everybody else in the morning, you have to get off the tefillin. I didn't realize why. Because the second that Shmoneser was over, they said Baruch Hu. They don't even say Aleinu, but the Yekis, they don't say Aleinu with the Mincha Ma'ariv, and they said Baruch Hu, and they started Ma'ariv. So here, I'm the only one standing there with my tefillin on, and everyone else, all the NCSYs, they were more than happy to take off the tefillin on. They were off before Asheri, and then everyone's standing there and davening Ma'ariv. I'm standing there like a goyim with my tefillin on. But then I looked at my watch. I said, 7:45. I said, Shkia is an hour and 2 hours. It's not even plug a mincha. It was nothing. It was too early to daven ma'ariv. Whatever. So they daven ma'ariv. So I didn't daven ma'ariv. I finished davening mincha. I took off my tefillin. And then they said, because the balabat, no one's going to come back 10 o'clock at night for ma'ariv. So they daven ma'ariv. Maybe it's right after plug. Maybe. I might say daven ma'ariv. Finish. So they daven ma'ariv. I didn't daven ma'ariv with them. So then for another 2 hours, I spoke to the kids. Rabbi Nissel gave another more different chizuk. They were waiting to stall till Tisha B'Av was over. So then at about, I don't know, 10 o'clock, whatever time they told them, the time is over. So they started to eat dinner. And I was looking outside, I said, it wasn't so dark yet. It wasn't so poshut. So I waited. I waited until, I hadn't had my review yet. So I waited 11 o'clock, 30, whatever time it was. It looked pretty dark outside. So then at that point, I davened my review, and then I ate. It was 11:30 at night. I sat down and I ate. It wasn't so much to eat anyway. So I sat down and I ate. So that was, it all started because of the tefillin. It all because I couldn't figure out what to do with the tefillin on Tishma. Okay. Let's show up with Daniel. Hopefully, next week. Next week, we still have